The words of my mouth and a meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. With that wonderful introduction by Simon, the sermon had better be good. I have to admit that I have almost avoided the news lately. The devastation and humanitarian crises caused by Hurricane Ida, not only in Louisiana, but also as it moved up the coast into New England. The withdrawal from Afghanistan. The fires in California and other Western states. In addition to spiking COVID numbers, were all more than a little discouraging. How do we cope with all this? One solution would be merely to cut ourselves off from all news. One person I know said that he was so impacted by all that news that he simply had to stop watching it, reading it, or going on the internet. I can understand that if it has that much effect on you, you may indeed be good just to cut it off. However, for most of us, cutting ourselves off from all news is like putting our heads in the sand and does not really work. It's not really a solution. So how do we deal with all this gloomy news? Especially as Christians, what is the appropriate response? Well, let us look to our scriptures for help. From the reading from Isaiah. Say to those who are of fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come and save you. Reassuring. Might we put ourselves in the category of fearful hearts? Be strong, do not fear, for waters shall break forth in a wilderness and streams in a desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. The overall message is that God is in control. We cannot know the outcome of all that is going on. Isaiah says, but we must trust in God. But Isaiah really doesn't address what action we are to take. What are we to do? And the Epistle of James is another story. The whole first part about not showing favoritism is important, but not very much help for our dilemma. But the last paragraph, the last few lines, is in line with what we've heard from James in the readings this past few weeks. To quote our epistle, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. James is saying that we must not only have faith that God is in control, but do something. Be actively involved in helping. Just being comforted by Isaiah and the message of trusting God is not enough. Take action. But exactly what action? The magnitude of these crises is so overwhelming, so it's hard to know what to do. Let us turn to our gospel from Mark. This is the passage about two healings. First, the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman, and then the deaf man. Indeed, I can't talk about this passage without dealing with the elephant in the room. Jesus' response to the woman begging for her daughter's healing is troubling. He says to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." The poor woman is merely trying to get help for her daughter. And Jesus responds in this way. Sure, she was a Gentile, a Canaanite probably of mixed parentage, descended from parents who were probably Syrian on the one hand and Phoenician on the other, hence Syrophoenician. But why would Jesus say something that implies that she is a dog? Some scholars see the word dog as an ethnic slur, and others say that it is better translated by kind of puppy dog, as if referring to a pet. But in any case, as Indiana Jones would say, this can't be good. This put-down is uncharacteristic of Jesus, to say the least. But we have to look at the context. Jesus was venturing out into the region of Tyre, and it was a coastal city, a Phoenician city, a port city, and a Gentile area where Jewish people rarely went. Indeed, the prophets warned against going into that area. And for this reason, Jesus would have been widely criticized for even venturing there. And in the patriarchal societies, it would be unconventional, to say the least, for a woman to approach a man, let alone asking for something. And Jesus would be going against every convention by even speaking to the woman. So there are a few possibilities of how to see this encounter. First, in this first interpretation, Jesus was growing in his understanding of his mission. The woman doesn't just ask, but begs him to heal her daughter. However, Jesus has made a priority of preaching to the people of Israel, implied when he says, "Let the children be fed first." In other words, the children of Israel. But, and this is a big but, the woman is right before him. He needs to deal with this Gentile woman. She responds, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." In that moment, he makes a decision. He says to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." Jesus has expanded his understanding of his mission to include not just the Jewish people, but the Gentiles as well. So there's another interpretation that says that Jesus is actually teaching his disciples a lesson in this passage. By going to that region inhabited by Gentiles, Jesus could have anticipated an encounter with a Gentile asking for help. So when the woman bravely approaches Jesus, he may not have been so surprised. However, his engaging the woman at all would have surprised the disciples. But he seems to play into their expectations by telling her that his priority is the people of Israel, and by further using the dog analogy. After the woman doesn't take the insult as a no, but persists by what she says, Jesus has that decision to make. And I think he commends her not so much by what she says, but for her persistence. And we know he grants her request. The disciples, observing all this, learn that not only are Gentiles to be despised, but they are also people to be treasured by God. In addition, Jesus is teaching them that they need to deal with the need that is presented before them, right in front of them. Then we come to the healing of the deaf man. Jesus is headed back to the Sea of Galilee. They bring a deaf man to Jesus, and the scriptures say they begged him to lay his hand on him. Notice the same language as what the woman used. Beg. They begged him. Why did they have to beg him? Maybe Jesus was overwhelmed by the number of people coming to be healed, the number of people who wanted just a piece of him. So maybe he was spent and exhausted, or did not yet want to deal with just another request. I have known that feeling as well. But in any case, he does lay hands on him, as opposed to the healing of the daughter when he does not even see her. This is a very hands-on healing. He places his fingers into the man's ears, and he spat and touched the man's tongue. Then he sighs. He sighs. We don't see this in any other healings. And maybe that's part of his exhaustion. He sighs. And also, he says, be opened. And the deaf man now can hear. Again, Jesus, even though weary, needs to deal with the need that was presented before him, right in front of him. Well, we know that crowds followed Jesus, and again, so many wanted healing that it may have been overwhelming to him. So why did he choose to deal with these two requests? Perhaps he may have been moved by their begging. There were hundreds of people wanting his help, but he dealt with those right in front of him who were begging him to intervene. He dealt with the need presented right before him. You may have heard the story about the starfish from The Star Thrower by Lauren Isley, but it bears repeating. A young girl was walking along a beach upon which thousands of starfish had been washed up during a terrible storm. When she came to each starfish, she would pick it up and throw it back into the ocean. Many people watched her with amusement. She had been doing this for some time when one of the men approached her and said, "Little girl, why are you doing this? Look at this beach. You can't save all these starfish. You can't begin to make a difference." After thinking about that for a moment, she bent down, picked up another starfish, and hurled it as far as she could into the ocean. Then she looked up at the man and replied, "Well, it made a difference to that one." The man looked at the girl inquisitively and thought about what she had said and done. Inspired, he joined the little girl in throwing starfish back into the sea, and all the people that were watching joined in, and all the starfish were saved. We can avoid being overwhelmed by all the bad news by taking what comes before us and helping the way we can. We can't fix everything, but we can take some action. One Episcopal church that we often go to when we are in the Washington, D.C. area decided that they would welcome one Afghan family. And they are already at work preparing and furnishing an apartment for this family. Well, it is a small act in the face of all the refugees that may come from Afghanistan, but it will make a huge difference to that family. Our deanery, composed of all the Episcopal churches in the Tampa area, is also exploring options for assisting refugees coming to the area from Afghanistan. And if you are interested in helping, you may talk to one of the clergy and see how you can help. This past week, I went to the Diocese of Louisiana's webpage and found a link to the Bishop's Disaster Relief Fund in a pastoral letter that Bishop Thompson had sent out. The diocesan office is in New Orleans. Working with Episcopal Relief and Development, they already have people on the ground helping with the aftermath of Hurricane Ida, providing food and water and pastoral care to those who so desperately need it. They will also help with the long-term efforts needed to rebuild and heal. In addition, Episcopal Relief and Development is also involved in helping with the fires in California. To quote the ERD website, Episcopal Relief and Development is working with the Diocese of Northern California to offer financial assistance to farm workers, people who live outdoors on public land, and evacuees from the Caldor and Dixie fires. Funds will be directed towards food and supplies. Even small donations, either to the Louisiana Diocese or to the Episcopal Relief and Development, can make a difference, especially with combined with many other donations. In sum, our Christian response to all these humanitarian crises in the news is first to not lose heart. As Isaiah says, "Be strong, do not fear." Then, as James affirms, faith by itself is not enough. It needs to be accompanied by action. And as we can learn a lesson from Jesus in the gospel by not being overwhelmed by the need, but taking actions, we can address at least some of the need, just a little piece of it. In doing so, we enable God to work through us to address these problems. Jesus answers the need that is right before him, and we can do this as well. Taking small steps can make a big difference, especially when combined with many other small steps. Listen again to our prayer book version of the psalm that we had today. Happy are they whose hope is in the Lord their God, who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the strangers. He sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Hallelujah. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.